Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from the 7th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus Christ is speaking. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? I professed unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Once again, good morning. We are honored with your presence. So many smiling faces. Glad to see you here. I'd love to see each and every one of you back tonight at 5:30. If time permits, we'll reconvene for our evening worship, and we're climbing our way through the book of Psalms, and so we will examine tonight Psalm 134. So I hope you can be present for that if your opportunities do present themselves. I do want to thank everybody for helping with the fruit basket work, one of the great benevolence and outreach tools that we have here at the Wood Congregation. And as you deliver those today, make sure you invite somebody to church and tell them how much we love them and how much, most importantly, they're loved of our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. This morning is the culmination of a series of lessons we've been looking at dealing with the idea of heaven, the dwelling place of God and the future home of those that have died faithful to Him. And this is our fourth one in the lesson. We started out by looking at what does the Bible say, the Bible doctrine of heaven. And then we looked at why I want to go to heaven, how it is my hope, my haven, and my home. And last week we were privileged to examine, can I be happy in heaven? And the answer is yes. And we looked at many different passages that prove yes, we can in fact and will be happy in heaven. And so I want to sum it all up this morning by making a simple statement. And that's the topic for our lesson. You'll suffer if you miss heaven. You will suffer. Now, I want to go to heaven, and I want you to go to heaven, and I think you want to go to heaven because you're here this morning. But we need to realize what's going to happen if we're not faithful until the very end. Now, we're all familiar with the idea of missing something. Usually, when we miss something, we may feel frustrated. We may feel mad. But usually, we handle it pretty well. For instance, if we miss the bus, well, another bus will be there in a few minutes. We could take that. If you miss an appointment at the doctor, you just call them and say, "Look, I overslept, I got stuck in traffic, whatever," and you schedule another one. If you miss a visitor that stops by your house or your office, well, you just go see them later. They'll come see you. If you miss a phone call, they'll probably leave you a message, and you can call them back. And if you miss a meal, not that many of us do, but if you miss a meal, you can always make it up later. We're familiar with missing things, but sometimes some things in life that we miss are not as easy to correct. For instance, there's a deadline every year on the 15th of April where you have to pay the government taxes. And if you don't have to pay, congratulations, but everybody else has to pay the government taxes. And guess what? If you miss that deadline, they're going to fine you because you didn't meet that deadline. If you work in business and you miss a business deadline or you miss a payment deadline, they may cut you off, they may knock your pay because you missed something, or they may turn the water off, whatever, if you miss that deadline. And sometimes if you're sick and you're supposed to take so many pills this day and so many the next day, and you miss a day or miss a dose, then you will end up suffering longer because you don't have all that medicine in your system. And that's bad enough. But this morning I want us to think about, what if you miss a home in heaven? A sobering thought. Terrible thought. Isn't it? I want us to look at that this morning. And I want us to look at, what does the Bible say about suffering if you'll miss heaven? We've got 3 points under examination this morning. And the first one is plain and simple, and it's not the happiest point in the world. But the Bible states, point number one, that some people are going to miss heaven. The Bible states plain and simple that some people are going to miss heaven. Now, if you poll the world as a whole, overwhelmingly, over 80% of people, some surveys have said, say, "Yes, I want to go to heaven. I don't know why it's not 100%, but whatever. But yet, the Bible says that not all of them are going to make it. According to Jesus, not everyone will be saved. That's where our lesson text comes into play. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, as he starts to wrap up his Sermon on the Mount that began in the 5th chapter, Jesus Christ says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? Haven't we prophesied? Haven't we cast out many devils, done wonderful things in thy name?" And he says, "I will confess unto them, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. You work iniquity." Jesus says that not everybody's going to make it into heaven. There are many good people in the world today, but if you haven't done the will of the Father, that's what he says in the latter half of verse 21, not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," but he that does the will of my Father, those are the ones that are going to make it into heaven. There will be many, and I hate to say this, and I wish it weren't true, but it is. There are going to be many people on the day of judgment who are going to be sorrowfully surprised because they thought they were good. But they may have never done anything that the Bible has commanded them to. There are going to be many people that are going to be sorrowful on the day of judgment. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says that God's going to bring every work that we do to judgment, both good and bad. Also Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. So the Bible tells us, and Jesus Christ even states, not everyone will be saved. And sadly, many people are going to die in their sins. Flip over with me to the book of John chapter 8, verse 24, please. A passage I feel would be familiar. But John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus has just finished talking about how he is the light of the world. One of the seven I am statements in the book of John. Once we get to verse 24, Jesus Christ, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins." Notice that last line. "But if you believe not that I am he," who's he? That is the Christ, the holy, anointed, just one, the Son of God. He says, "Unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Many will be lost because they died in their sins. Some knew that they were in sin, but they're going to die anyways because maybe they're too stubborn. Well, that's it. They're just too stubborn. If you know about it and you're too stubborn and you don't want to fix it, you're too stubborn to do it. Because some people enjoy sin more than being pleasing to God. Some people did not know that they're sin. That's sins of omission. But if you die with sin in your life, you will be lost. Now, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, we've already touched on this in this series, but Isaiah tells us that our sins, verse 1, have separated us from God. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, verse 1, but your sins, verse 2, have separated between you and your God. It's not God's doing. It is our sins that drives a wedge in that relationship between God and me, or you and God. We also learn that from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, that sin is what separates man and God. So sadly, there are going to be many people who are going to die in their sins. And the Scripture tells us that there are going to be few people who go to heaven. And I want to make it to be one of that few, and I hope that you do as well. Go back with me to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." There's option one, the way to destruction. It's broad, it's wide, that's where the majority is going. Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So Jesus Christ has just told me, and he's just told you, that few people are going to be saved. When you look at the world as a whole, and when you look at mankind as a whole, only those that have done what he said to do are the ones that are going to be saved and have been faithful to death. Because you know it just as well as I do, a majority of the world, they just do whatever they want to. They really have no regard for what I want, what you want, or more importantly, what God has commanded. They just do what seems right to them, even if it's a rash decision because they don't like one thing or another. And it has a trail of effects that just kind of goes on and on and on. Many people in the world, they don't care about God's law. They don't care about God's commands. Now, they'll tell you that they do. And at the Christmas time of the year, which we're now at, they will profess that they have been thinking about Christ and God all year long. But then you come find them any other part of the year, and it's like they don't even know who you're talking about. That's sad, is it not? In 1 John 5:19, John says, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." The whole world, 1 John 5:19. This world is full of sin. That's what got the world destroyed the first time in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis with God and with Noah. Because of their wickedness. And the second time he's going to destroy it with fire and brimstone. We know that. Here's another reference to the great number that are going to miss heaven. So I want you to first and foremost understand that when we talk about the fact that you'll suffer when you miss heaven, is the fact is some people, the Bible tells us, are going to miss heaven. Because they're going to be few on that straight and narrow, because it's not the easy path. If it were the easy path that led unto life everlasting, everybody would be on it. But you need to do something in order to live faithful to God. So that's point number one. Point number two this morning. Why? Why will there be so many people that will miss heaven? Well, first and foremost, because many will not obey what God has said. They're just blatantly going to say, "I'm not going to do it." Go with me to the book of Hebrews, if you don't mind. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Hebrews 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Though he, Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Why are so many people going to miss heaven? Number one, they will not obey God. Notice what the Hebrew writer says at the end of the ninth verse. He became the author of eternal salvation. Why? What? What does it mean? To all those that obey him. He wrote the book, but if you don't read the knowledge, if you don't apply it, you don't get the benefit of it. He wrote the book Jesus Christ did on our salvation, but if we don't act upon that, we don't get saved. Many people are not going to obey God. Jesus Christ was obedient to what God has said to do. We must follow His example and be obedient as well. Also, flip with me to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. Revelation 22, 14, words of Jesus Christ are recorded here at the end of this book. He says, "Blessed are they that do His commands, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the city." Blessed are they that do His commandments. That means blessed are they which obey what God has said to do, brethren. Obedience is a prerequisite, pre-meaning before, requisite, required is your root word. It's something that you have to do before you can be saved. You have to be obedient to God. And I hate to say it, but many people in the world today, they're going to miss heaven because they refuse to obey God. And some people will stand up and say, "I refuse God." But some people just refuse Him by their actions. They may never tell you that, but you can see it by the way they live their life. Secondly, why will so many miss heaven? Because many people are filled with pride. Many people are filled with pride. Go back with me to the little Old Testament prophet of Obadiah. Obadiah, go back with me to him. He's got two pages in my Bible, may just be one page in yours. 21 verses, right before Jonah. I want us to look at Obadiah, verse 3 and verse 4. Obadiah in verse 3. "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, says the Lord. Obadiah is prophesying to Edom. We find that out in the first verse. And what is he saying is going to be their demise? Pride in their hearts. They have built up a high place as if eagles building a high nest. But God says, I'm going to tear that nest down because you have pride in your heart. Brethren, this is a major barrier for many people in the world today because too many people are afraid or don't want to admit when they're wrong. Many people are caught up in themselves. And they say, well, I may have made a mistake, but it looks bad on my part if I admit that I made a mistake, is the mindset of some people. They're too prideful to admit when they have made a wrong. That was Edom's problem when Obadiah is prophesying back in the Old Testament times, and that will be many people's problems today. Let's also go to another Old Testament prophet of Zephaniah. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So you're four books away from the end of the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 10 through 15. And I hope you see as we look at these Old Testament examples, pride's not a new thing. Zephaniah 2, starting in verse 10, this shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible unto them. He will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. Ye Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword. Again, he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Syria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness, and flocks shall lie down in the midst of her. All the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that saith in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passes by her shall hiss and laugh in his hand. Zephaniah is talking about destruction that's going to come to Judah because of her pride. Because she said, I am, and there is none like me. Kind of makes me think of what Muhammad Ali said, I am the greatest. No, that is good. People of Judah are going to be destroyed because of their pride. There in verse number 14, we're talking about pelicans and birds like that, in case you're wondering the Old Testament terminology. They're going to be destroyed. Let's go to a New Testament example here quickly in James chapter 4 and verse number 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6. Here James says, but he, that's God, giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Brethren, pride is going to cause many people to miss heaven because their heart is filled with pride. Also, you couple that with 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 with similar sentiments. Number three, why will many miss? Because many refuse to live faithfully to God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, he's talking about giving all diligence. He starts that out in verse 5. Add your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. And he builds this ladder, if you will. But we need to give all diligence to live faithfully. Look with me to John chapter 8 and verse 31. We'll give you a grammar lesson at no charge to you. We're going to look at an if-then statement. If sets it up. If the first part, then the second part will happen. You ready? John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. If you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. There is no such thing the Bible teaches as the false doctrine of once saved, always saved. Because here Jesus says you have to continue. to live faithfully in His Word. Also Romans 11:22, there's no way that we can get to heaven without remaining faithful to the Lord. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. God is good to those who are faithful, but there's a severe punishment if you're unfaithful. And number four, why do people miss? One, because of sin. We've already looked at Isaiah 59:1-2. Your sin separates you from God. Unforgiven sin results in a loss of our chance of heaven. And we also learn in James 1:13-15 that sin brings forth death when it is finished. And death is separation from God. James is not talking about physical death, your heart stops pumping blood and oxygen to your body. He's talking about a spiritual death, a separation of you and God. Sin, and it comes down to it, is the reason people miss heaven. Now lastly, number three, what do you do if you miss heaven? What should you do? Well, first off, you're going to start to think about something. You're going to think about how you're going to have no more opportunities to obey the gospel. I think about the story of Felix in Acts 26. When he says unto Paul, Acts 26:28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I think about Acts 24, when I have a more convenient season, Paul, I will call upon you to preach the gospel. And we never read of another more convenient season. You're going to have to think about, you're never going to hear an invitation offered again. You're never going to have a chance to make your life right. You need to think about how your life, how your faith is sealed. Your eternity has begun. And no doubt you're going to replay every time you sat in worship and you didn't respond to the Lord's invitation. You said, well, I'll do it next time. And then I'll do it next time. And then before long, you stop thinking about the next time. You think about all the times you failed to let your light so shine before men, Matthew 5:16. You may think about all the trouble that you've caused your earthly family and your spiritual family as a church. You'll think about how you rejected the love of God, John 3:16. How you rejected His repentance, Luke 13:3, also verse 5. How you rejected calling upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:9-10. How you rejected baptism, 1 Peter 3:21. And how you rejected remaining faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. And you'll think about all those times. You also start to feel some other things. Matthew 25:30, the Bible talks about there's going to be weeping and there's going to be gnashing of teeth. Of course there's going to be weeping. There's eternal separation of God. That represents the anguish that's found in hell. When John writes Revelation by inspiration, in Revelation 14:9-11, the Bible talks about those in hell have no rest. Jesus Christ says, I will give you rest, Matthew 11:28-30. But hell offers no rest. You're going to feel great pain. Matthew 25:46 talks about an everlasting fire which cannot be quenched. We read about great torment in Luke 16:19-26, the story of rich man and Lazarus. Because the rich man, the Bible says, and in torments he lifted up his eyes. And you'll feel that you're in the place of the devil. Matthew 25:41, a prepared place for the devil and his angels. But I also want you to know that you're going to start to grow, or you're going to start to be affected with pain because you're in outer darkness. Matthew 25:30. We learn from the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16:26, there is no hope of getting out. Lazarus in that, or the rich man in that story, is pleading with Abraham, get me out of here. Send Lazarus back down so he can try to convert my five other brethren. Brethren, there is nothing but frustration and pain for an eternity. And you're going to start to share some things because others will be in hell with you. The fearful, unbelieving, whoremongers, backbiters, drunkards, slanderers, Revelation 21:8 concludes, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns with brimstone, which is the second death. You're going to have all this company which you really wouldn't want to be keeping, and they're going to be your eternal neighbors. It never ends. And lastly, you need to realize there's not one positive thing that you can do. Why? Because it's all over. it's all too late. If you miss heaven, there's nothing you can do to break it. You can't schedule again. You can't say, well, God, I'd like for you to come back tomorrow, and I'll make my life right by tomorrow, and then I'll go to heaven, because it's too late. Sobering thought. But I want you to think about it. Because if you miss heaven, you have no hope. You're doomed, you're damned to spend an eternity separated from God. But I have some good news for you. Because you do not have to miss heaven. You have an opportunity here in just a few minutes. We're going to extend the Lord's invitation. Don't let this be one that you think, well, I'll obey next time, or I'll make my life right next time. You have an opportunity either to obey the gospel or turn over a new leaf. The Bible tells us that if we do not want to lose heaven, we must, Matthew 7:21, do the will of my Father. What did the Father say? Matthew 17:5, hear ye Him. That's Jesus Christ. He said, John 8:24, unless you believe I'm He, you'll die in your sins. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Matthew 10:32-33, confess His name, and He will confess you, or deny, and He will deny you. Be baptized, Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned or condemned. And then Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. That's what Jesus said, because those are all red letter words. What will happen if you miss your reward in heaven? Eternally lost, punished eternally, and you will suffer, and that's all you can do. As we conclude this series of four lessons, there were 34 passages today. Brother, we've looked at over 100 passages in the Bible about heaven. But most importantly, I do not want you to miss heaven. If I could be faithful for you, I would. But I can't. I can only be faithful, be obedient for me. And you can only be faithful and obedient for you. Brethren, please do not miss heaven. Please do not miss heaven. Obey the gospel if you have not. Quit putting it on. If you know you need to do it, quit putting it on. If you need to make something right in your life, quit putting that off. I don't want you to suffer, but you'll suffer if you miss heaven. If there's no sin in life, then this should motivate you to not make it to hell, but instead to make it to heaven by being faithful every day of your life. If we can help you in any way at all this morning, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand.